This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. You know, I've heard that for every one person that sends a gift to support Equip, there are probably 10 others that don't. But I can tell you this, we deeply appreciate every single one of you who support this program. Your impact is huge. Maybe it's been a long time since you've contacted Equip, or maybe you've never responded. Isn't it time to call? Here's the number, 888-644-4144 or equipradio.org. Hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I'm so thrilled that you've joined us today. Do me a favor, strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What a great day we have ahead of us, and what a great week. We're going to delve into how you and I can intentionally disciple our children and grandchildren and help them to develop the type of biblical worldview that can give them a vibrant faith. We're going to talk about a faith that lasts and a faith that we can pass. But before we get into that and our great guest for today, let me just say thank you to our friends and partners who support this program. It has been absolutely awesome to navigate through this month with you, including our phenomenal webinar, How Do You Know That Christianity Is True? So well attended. It was phenomenal to be able to take questions about everything ranging from the evidential support for the Christian faith, to the ethical support, to trends like deconstructionism, and so much more. We tried to address those for our partners, for special guests, and it was a great gathering. For those of you who attended, thank you for that. For all of our friends who listen to Equip on a regular basis, just know this, that we are resolved to continue to stand firmly with our feet planted in the gospel, to encourage a generation of believers to trust in Christ, to remind our culture that the Bible is still God's infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God, that the grace and forgiveness and salvation that our hearts long for are found in Christ and in Christ alone. And if that message matters to you, if the mission of equipping Christians to more effectively live, share, and defend their faith, if that matters to you, if you are convinced like me that people everywhere desperately need Jesus, then I would ask that you would stand with us. We have two simple goals in this with this program, and the goals are that we would have a testimony of spiritual impact. We want to put on full display the glory of the gospel and declare the finished work of Christ. But also, we do want to have a testimony of fiscal, good fiscal stewardship. A testimony of good financial stewardship is really important to us. And so as we sit here today, we are only about $1,500 away from our budgeted goal for this month. But we only have a few short days left in this month and a lot jammed into this week. And so I'm going to ask you if you could do me a favor and consider making a special gift to Equip today. Maybe that gift is a $100 gift. If we can have 15 friends commit to that, we hit our goal and we're able to move on beyond that. And that makes a huge difference, because it's more than just about keeping the lights on. It's really about getting the good news of God's grace out to college students, to young adults, to the next generation. Yes, to moms and dads who are raising sons and daughters, and even equipping grandparents to be able to pass on the faith that they believe in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask that you would consider dialing this number, 888-644-4144. We're looking for 15 friends this week that can give a gift of $100 or more to help us to be able to not only reach the next generation with the gospel, but to declare to our culture that Jesus is Lord. it might be easier for you to go to our website, equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. Well, what does it take to raise spiritual champions, to nourish your child's heart, mind, and soul? I'm so grateful for this new book that I have in my hands and the author who wrote it. First, let me just mention a statistic. Recently, I was reminded as I was reading a report out of Westmont College that Gen Z, about half of them identify as Christian. Now, that may be encouraging or discouraging, depending on how you feel about the decline in that number, but yet still half of them identify as Christian. But when you delve deeper, what the research shows is that only about 4% of them actually have a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview. How do we get here, and how do we right the ship? Well, Dr. George Barna, who is the co-founder and director of research at the Cultural Research Center of Arizona Christian University, has over 40 years of professional research experience. He's been evaluating and analyzing trends in faith and culture in America. He's also a professor at ACU who focuses in on evaluating worldviews, promoting worldview development, and encouraging cultural transformation. Dr. Barna is famous to many of us who have followed the research that he's been producing over the decades. He has also authored over 60 books, but I'm excited to have this one in my hands, Raising Spiritual Champions. Dr. George Barna joins me now. How are you, Dr. Barna?
Doing well, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you for joining. Talk about the impetus for this particular book and why you felt it was desperately needed to be written.
Well, you know, I'm getting to be an old man, Chris, and so I want to finish well. And one of the things that I did at one point about 4 or 5 years ago is I sat back and tried to figure out what would finishing well look like, what would it mean. So being a researcher, the only way I knew how to deal with that was, let me take a look at the research I've been doing and what I've been learning and what direction that should point me in. So I went through about 200 of my most recent national research projects, took notes on what did I learn out of each of those projects. At the end of that exercise, looked at the notepad that I had filled up with a lot of bullet points and started narrowing it down to what it really meant. And it all came back to worldview. Because one of the things that we know, Chris, is that every person has a worldview. And you need to have it to get through the day because it's your decision-making filter. Every decision every person makes, every moment of every day, flows through their worldview. And so if we don't like the way the culture is, we don't like the way institutions are behaving, the government is acting, whatever, well, that's happening because of the decisions that we as a culture have made. So if we yes. don't like it, we've got to change the worldview. And so I yes. said, okay, then my final years have to be about worldview. But the other important thing I've learned over the years is that a person's worldview begins developing at 15 to 18 months of age and is fully formed by the age of 13.
Wow.
And so that said to me, okay, so then really my final years here, I've got to be pointing the church in the direction of pay attention to children. Satan is. Mm-hmm. He's targeted them. And that's why our culture is going where it is. And that study that you alluded to earlier about Gen Z that we did, where we found that only 4%, well, actually less than 4% of them have a biblical worldview now. You know, I mean, that's the critical insight into why our culture is deteriorating so quickly. It's because we don't believe in God. We don't believe in his word. We don't believe that it matters how we act. I mean, there are so many things wrapped up in worldview. And so that's why I felt, man, the best thing I could do right now, hopefully, you know, get it in before the deadline, the Lord takes me home, is like, let me get this book out there, trying to wake up the church to understand, you know, we're investing way too many resources in adults. We need to invest a much larger share of our resources in children. And it's not about the local church. It's about the home. It's about what parents do with their children.
Well, I just want to say, man, I have a friend who used to say to me, Chris, as he got older, I got one bullet left in my gun and I can't waste it. And as I listen to you, I hear echoes of that statement. There's so many things that you just said that challenge our assumptions in this moment. And friends, I just want to lay this foundation, and then I promise you I'm going to open up the phone lines for every grandma, grandpa, every mom and dad who say, I am very concerned about my child's worldview, and I really want to have an impact, and I need prayer and encouragement and wisdom. The phone number is 877-LIVE-675, 877-548-3675. What a treat to have Dr. George Barna, with his decades of experience, both living and research, with us today. No one has written more books on survey-based research about faith in American history than Dr. George Barna, who's with us today. Two things I just want to highlight. One is that parents and grandparents still matter. It seems to me like the assumption that we have bought into is that our kids' worldview is going to be primarily shaped by the music they listen to, the movies that they watch, social media, friends. But it sounds like you're saying to me, pump the brakes a minute, parents and grandparents still do matter. Is that what the research is showing you?
Absolutely. It's showing two related things there that you just alluded to. The first of those is that if we look at what is shaping the worldview of our children today, it is the arts and entertainment media. As I studied all the different influences on what develops a person's worldview, arts and entertainment media, far and away, the biggest influence. However, that's because parents and grandparents in particular, those two groups, have essentially given up their role as the worldview shaper of children. Now, they can get it back. They can earn it back. If your child's young enough, you don't even have to earn it. It's assumed by the child. We tend to lose that right because of our choices. And one of the key things we found in the research, Chris, you probably have a break coming up, and I know I got to shut up at some point here, but is we discovered that most kids over the age of 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that range in America today, no longer trust their parents. And the reason is kids are going through their life trying to figure out how it works. They're trying to develop a worldview that will help them to become the person they want to be, live the kind of life they think would be best for themselves. And so they're looking to their parents and their grandparents for cues. And the problem is when we did the research with the kids, they told us, yeah, I can't trust my parents. We said, why? And they said, well, you know, my parents say one thing, but then they do another. Yeah. And I said, well, what difference does that make to you? I mean, they're still your parents. Why wouldn't you trust them? And they said, oh, it's because I'm trying to figure out how life works. I mean, they didn't use these words, but, you know, I'm trying to figure out how life works, and I'm watching my parents, and because they say one thing and do another, I assume they're as confused as I am. So they obviously don't have the answers. So I've got to look somewhere else. So where do they look, Chris? They look to the media. Why? Because when you watch a 30-minute television program, it's all wrapped up very neatly in a tight little ball. They've got all the answers. They're sending out consistent messages. When they watch a 90-minute movie, same thing. They listen to a 3-minute pop song, same thing. It's consistent messages because it's been crafted specifically to do that. Parenting is much messier. It's much more difficult. Grandparenting is even tougher because you have less time with the kids, less exposure with them. And so, you know, we've got to be very intentional and strategic in how we go about parenting our children. And part of that has to do with what media we allow them to be exposed to.
I often quote my friend Rob Reno, his wife Amy Reno, Visionary Family Ministries, on this program. Rob was the first that I heard say that if we're going to win the race of the Great Commission, it takes two pedals. Yes, local and global missions and outreach, but then we have to win the home. We can't just complete this mission of the Great Commission through global missions and then local outreaches and overlooking our children in our own home. We win our children and we win our homes and we win the culture and we win the world. Friends, we're going to take a break, but George Barnett just opened up a whole world of issues that we need to delve into. Friends, your kids need to hear more from you than they hear from Siri or Alexa. Grandparents, your grandkids need to hear from you more than they hear from Snapchat or TikTok. We're going to talk about how do we regain their trust? How do we reassert ourselves as an authoritative voice in their lives? Maybe this is where you're living right now and you need help or encouragement as a parent or a grandparent. How do I disciple my child or my grandchild? The phone number, 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. We'll be right back. Here on Equip, it's our goal to help listeners like you to understand and apply biblical truth to the issues we encounter in our culture, our community, and our home. But we need your help. Will you join our family of Equippers by making an ongoing monthly donation to Equip? When you do, you'll have exclusive access to regular encouragement from me, as well as our Equipper webinars and other special offers. Become an Equipper today. Call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. I promise you we're going to go to the phone lines in just a moment. The book we're looking at is Raising Spiritual Champions, Nourishing Your Child's Heart, Mind, and Soul. Dr. George Barna has written this very important book for our moment in church and Christian history, our moment in our national history as well. You can find out more at our website, equippedradio.org. That's equippedradio.org. Before we go to the phone lines, Dr. Barna, it's always bad when you're using a term without defining it. I don't want to assume that everyone knows what you and I mean when we use the term worldview. So what is a layman's definition of worldview? If you had to simplify it, what is it?
It's essentially the intellectual, emotional, and spiritual filter that you use to experience, understand, interpret, and respond to the world. It's the way that you make sense of the world and who you are in it. And so everybody has a worldview. It's comprised of all of your core beliefs and your core values. And what happens is all of that gets translated into behavior. So if I get the opportunity to observe you for a day, I can pretty much tell you what your worldview is, because your beliefs are put on display by your behavior. You do what you believe. And so beliefs are the critical foundation that determine who we become. They are the foundation of our worldview, which then gets translated into the behavior that other people experience from you.
All right, the phone number, 877-LIVE-675. We're praying in particular for our children and our grandchildren. We're praying even more importantly, I think, for ourselves as parents and grandparents, that we will be able to leverage our authority in Christ, because it's already given to us, as Dr. Barna has said, that we be able to regain trust with our kids and grandchildren, and that we be able to disciple them so that they might have a faith that lasts, a biblical worldview. One more question, then we go to the phone lines. And here's the question. Why is it not enough that a family say, well, we're a Christian family? Is it possible that we can self-identify as a Christian family and still not have a biblical worldview? If that is possible, how is that possible?
Wow. We could talk for another hour just on that question. But I mean, in most cases in America today, our research is showing that we've got about, 66% of adults in America who consider themselves to be Christian. Only 4% of adults in America have a biblical worldview. What's the disconnect? We well, we're raised in families where parents don't have a worldview development plan for their children. We go to churches that don't have a worldview development process or expectation for the people who attend. We live in a culture where up until we started our center, nobody really was consistently measuring worldview in America. It wasn't even important enough for leaders to be concerned about. You know what matters to a leader by what they measure, because you get what you measure. Yeah. And so, you know, the fact that nobody's been measuring it until we came along and started the Cultural Research Center, now every year we're doing a big national study assessing worldview. You know, so all of those things are in place. What's happened is that families say, well, look, I go to a Christian church. That makes me Christian, you know, which is about as silly as saying, well, I'm in the garage. That makes me a car, you know, or, you know, the fact that they say, well, I grew up with Christian parents, or I attended a Christian school, or I own a Bible. I believe in Jesus. Big deal. The devil believes in Jesus. You know, so, I mean, you've really got to go much deeper than
that. So you're asking questions. You're asking questions like, what do you believe in God, to see whether or not the belief in God aligns with what the Bible teaches about God, namely that he's omniscient, that he's all-powerful, omnipotent, that he is omnipresent. You're asking, what do they believe about the authority of Scripture, that it is actually the Word of God. You're asking, what do they believe about Jesus, that he is Savior, yes, but he's also divine and eternal. These are types of things you're looking for when you say biblical worldview. Is that correct?
Yeah, and we even take it a little bit further, because we'll start talking about how does that apply to your life. It's one thing to believe that a holy, righteous, all-powerful, all-knowing, just God created the universe. Great.
Yes.
But so what? So what? How does that affect the choices that you make? So
no,
we
really
ask
good.
Things even about, like, so what's your purpose in life? Do you have one? Do you know what it is? You know, how much time do you spend trying to discern God's will for your life?
Yeah, that's,
you know,
good.
How often do you do that? Once a year, once a month, every day?
And you that know, helps us to know whether or not this is just head knowledge, information, in other words, or if it's deep belief. Let's go to the phone lines. Ann is listening in Spokane, Washington, and we wanted to get you on before a break. How can we pray for you today?
Hi, my name is Ann. I'm sitting at Spokane International Airport. Thank you so much for feeding me during my trip. Your stations are incredible. I've been trepidatious as to traveling back to Southern California. The road ahead is not easy, but I can't do it without God at the forefront, and I'm new at walking with putting God at the forefront. I buried my father yesterday with my family at the Pine City Cemetery outside of Spokane. I have a granddaughter who's 7 years old that I am just hoping and praying. She goes to the Harvest Bible Church out in Bullhead City, Arizona.
Okay.
She's got a home there that she will inherit when she's 21, and I did not raise my children in the church, and I don't want to take charge. I don't want to take control. I just am asking that God put the people in front of us necessary to kind of ease the path, because I'm a total believer.
Sure, sure. First off, thank you so much for listening, Ann, and thanks for calling. So let's just talk about this for just a moment. Dr. Barna, Ann is getting ready to go back to Southern California, needs to repair relationships within her family, in particular, the 7-year-old granddaughter. She admits she didn't raise her kids particularly to follow Christ, but now is following Jesus herself, wants to see her granddaughter follow Christ. What's the best advice you give to grandparents in this type of scenario?
Same advice that I give to parents, which is understand that the most important thing you'll do on this earth is raise disciples. And so you got to go back and you got to think about, but what does it mean to be a disciple? And in the book, I talk about the six times when Jesus defines what a disciple is. But in terms of what we can do, I'm a grandparent right now. I'm working with my three grandchildren, trying to do everything I can to make sure, just like Anne wants, that these grandkids grow up to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. And so it means I got to have a relationship with them. I got to invest time in them. They've got to see Jesus in my life. And we've got to have conversations about these things in the natural flow of our daily activity.
And we want to be a blessing to you and get you a copy of Raising Spiritual Champions. You stay on the line. And Father, we pray that you would bless our dear sister and her granddaughter to follow you in Jesus' name. Friends, I want you to get a copy of this book, Raising Spiritual Champions by Dr. George Barna. Go to equipradio.org. What is Equip with Chris Brooks? At its core, this program is just real people who are trying to deal with real life and looking for biblical answers. Tune in every weekday, and that's what you'll hear. But none of this is possible without the generous monthly support of our Equippers. You can join the growing family of supporters today and begin receiving special benefits when you call 888-644-4144. Or if you prefer to automate your gift, simply go online to equippedradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. What a great way to start this week out. Dr. George Barna is my guest today. Raising Spiritual Champions is the book. We want to encourage you to go to our website so that you can get your copy. I also want to say thanks. We started out today. I share with you that we are about $1,500 away from our budgeted financial goal. I asked for 15 friends to consider a gift of $100 or more towards that goal. Thank you to Joel from Kent, Ohio. I'm so grateful for you, Joel. Thank you also to Barbara from Florida. So grateful for you. We're just a little bit now, just a little bit over $1,200 away from our goal. If Equip has been a blessing to you, if you believe this commitment we have to making sure we proclaim the gospel clearly, boldly to your community, and to the next generation, I would ask that you would consider supporting us with the best gift you can, whatever that amount may be. I promise to keep you posted. We're asking again to get to that goal so that we can have a testimony of spiritual impact and good financial stewardship. The phone number to support the program is 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Or if it's easier, go to equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. We're going to go back to the phone lines in just a moment. So if you're on hold, please stay there. We're going to get to you. But Dr. Barna, again, wanting to define these terms, what is a disciple? Because we are encouraging parents and grandparents that the greatest thing you can do to impact the world, the greatest thing you can do to make an impact on the kingdom of God is to disciple your children and grandchildren. So what is a disciple?
Chris, when I sat down to write the book, that was one of the first questions I had to wrestle with. And so I thought, okay, I'll see what other authors have come up with. I didn't find any books that really had satisfying definitions. They were all fine, but then it occurred to me, oh, you dumb cough, why didn't you go back to the real book, the Bible? And in those pages, Jesus has six particular moments when he says, you will be my disciple if, or you cannot be my disciple unless. And so, you know, what he said in John 8 is he said, you will be my disciple if you obey my teachings in John 13. Said, you'll be my disciple if you love other disciples. In John 15, he said, you'll be my disciple if you produce much spiritual fruit. And then in Luke 14, in rapid fire succession, he's got three things. He says, you cannot be my disciple unless you love God more than anything else in your life. Then he followed that up by saying, you cannot be my disciple unless you pick up your cross and follow me, which in that context, that cultural context of Roman charge meant you've got to submit to God's authority. He can be the only true authority in your life. And then a couple verses later in Luke 14, he says, "And you cannot be my disciple unless you surrender everything in my life for my agenda." So that's what a disciple is. You obey God's teachings, Jesus' teachings in the Bible. You love other disciples. You produce disciples. You love God above everything else. You submit to his authority. You surrender everything you have to follow him, to do his will, to advance his kingdom. That's a disciple.
Let me just say, for someone that's listening, maybe what Dr. Barnett just said is totally revolutionary. Maybe you thought that being a Christian and a goal of the Christian life was simply to be a good person. And so often when we say that, we imply or we, include into that secular definitions of what it means to be good. We allow broader society, not scripture, to define that. What Dr. Barnett just said is the goal of the Christian life is to be a disciple who makes disciples, To be a disciple is to be completely surrendered, mind, body, soul, my possessions, my passions, to Christ, to follow him, to follow his way, his word, his will for my life. And that's what we want to have happen in the hearts of our children and grandchildren. Friends, that's the goal of the Christian life. And I will just say, we live in a culture, Dr. Barnett, where more parents feel the pressure to make sure their kids go to the right college than they do to make sure that they are a follower of Christ, a faithful follower of Christ. We live in a day and age where a lot of parents are investing more time into their kids athletically, picking them up, dropping them off in travel soccer or AAU basketball, or investing all this money into football and baseball and athletics. But what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And so the question of Dr. Barnett's book, the question that I have to be confronted with, and each one of us as Christian parents, is this: have we embraced the ultimate goal for your child to embody the characteristics of Christ? And how are we doing towards that end? And if you say, "Man, I'm struggling towards that," or "I haven't really done a great job there," that's okay to be honest with yourself, but we got to be honest if we're going to begin to take up our cross, follow Christ, and help our children to do the same. Join the conversation. We're going to take your calls at 877-LIVE-675. I want to go to Lisa, who's listening in Florida. Again, the number is 877-548-3675. If you want to join the conversation, Lisa, thank you so much for listening to Equipped. How can we pray for you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I feel like I failed as a parent raising my children. They're all grown now. I was raised in a church that lived by the law, which is the worldly view. Could never be good enough, could never fulfill all the requirements that I thought you had to be a Christian and a disciple. I gained my relationship with Jesus about 10 years ago. I no longer live by the law. I live by grace and his mercy and what he did for me on the cross. Mm. But my children, they're not there. And especially my youngest daughter, who is in active recovery. And I can't decipher between being an enabler and being a disciple of Jesus as far as helping her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, first off, Lisa, I want to say thank you for giving us a call. I also want you to know that it's really a privilege to be able to not only hear from you, but I want to join you in prayer. I'm going to give Dr. Barna an opportunity to share his heart with you. But one of the ways we want to bless you is by reminding you that you still have an opportunity to impact your children. I don't ever want you to think that that opportunity is over. They're in a different phase or a different stage of life. God yet still uses moms and dads, and your voice is louder in their hearts than what you may realize. I want to get you a copy of Dr. Barnett's book. So after he responds, stay on the line, because we're going to get you a copy of Raising Spiritual Champions. Dr. Barnett, what do you say to Lisa?
that, you know what, Lisa, praise God that you've made that turnaround and you're walking in the right direction now. Don't give up hope, because to be a disciple doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we're holy, but holy means that we're set apart. What sets us apart? It's that relationship that we have with Jesus. And so he calls us to make other disciples. And what does that mean? It means that we start with a relationship. So with your children, it doesn't matter what went on in the past. I mean, it matters, but you can overcome that. God will overcome that through you if your commitment is to helping introduce them to the Jesus that you now know as your Lord and Savior. And so, you know, that relationship is based on building trust with them. It's based on spending time with them. It's kind of a one-on-one thing where you live life with them. You talk about decisions that you're making in life. And one of the big issues that so many disciple makers have is they think they have to tell other people what to do. That generally doesn't work too well. What does work well is dialogue. What I would call Socratic dialogue, where when you get in conversations, let's say with your daughter, you know, and she says, well, I'm going to do this, rather than saying, no, that's a sin, you know, you're wrong, blah, 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 a great thing to do is just, wow, that's interesting, why would you do that? What's the motivation behind that? And then start a conversation around that where the other person, in this case your daughter, has the opportunity to share what she's feeling or thinking or experiencing. And you get to keep asking questions that go a little bit deeper each time until you arrive at what's the core value that's driving that? What's the dominant belief that's behind it? And you can then begin to offer some alternatives for them to consider. You can't make them change, but you can share alternatives from God's word with them.
Yeah, I couldn't say, man, enough to what Dr. Barna just said. And Lisa, you know, I just want to say this, that it's all by grace. Our salvation is by grace, and so is the salvation of our children and our grandchildren. It's not by works. So I don't want you to think that our call to parents being intentional is some formulaic call of, hey, if you work hard enough, your kids will guarantee follow Jesus. There's a lot of parents who have done the right things, but yet their children have chosen to walk away, because we all have to surrender our lives to the Lord. And there's also parents who say, man, I've been woefully inadequate, but yet God's grace has prevailed. So where does this leave us? I think it leaves us with the recognition that the best thing I can do for my children is to be a disciple myself, first and foremost, to follow Jesus with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, my being, my strength, and then to encourage them to do the same, to lovingly, not guilt-ridden, but lovingly encourage them to do the same. And I think one of the best starting points, I will just give you two things. One is to be their prayer partner, their intercessor. You can still pray for your kids, and it's okay for you to call them on a pretty consistent basis to say, how can I be praying for you today? Mama's going to be praying for you today. How can I pray for you? What do you want me to pray for? And they just need to see you as a prayer partner, that, man, Mom's praying for me. Secondly, it's okay for you to study God's word with them, or to at least share what you're learning as you're reading God's word, passing that along to them, helping them to instill God's word in his heart that they might not sin against him. Lisa, I want to leave you with this verse, Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Conviction is good. Conviction means that, man, I've gotten off track and I need to get back on track. Condemnation is bad. That says that I'm hopeless. Don't ever fall into condemnation, hopelessness. That's not Christ and his message for us. Conviction, yeah, that leads to repentance and salvation. It's a good thing to say, man, I need to get back on track. But there is hope for you and for your children. Father, I pray right now for Lisa that you would bless her, that you would bless her daughter, her youngest daughter in particular. I pray that they would love you, her children would love you with all of their heart, and that they would follow you. May Lisa be a disciple, and may her children be disciples who make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Lisa, stay on the line. We're going to get you Raising Spiritual Champions. Friends, you can get your copy. I hope you see why I'm so excited about this book. You can go to our website, equipradio.org. It's equipradio.org. Dads, you matter. Granddads, you matter. Moms, grandmas, you matter to passing our faith down from one generation to the next. The greatest thing we can leave our children, it's not a life insurance policy, not our 401k or pension plans, not a home or car or any other earthly possession which fades over the years. But what we can leave them is a faith that lasts, an enduring relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk to Dr. Barna about how we can help to disciple our children on the next After This Break. We'll be right back. If you want to read the Bible for all it's worth, it's helpful to have an experienced guide with you. Bible teacher Dr. Jim Coakley has written a book that will bring your scripture study to life. It's called 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible, and I highly recommend it for you if you want to understand and apply the Bible for yourself. Get your copy with a gift of any amount to Equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Raising Spiritual Champions is the book. George Barna is my guest. What a blessing and really an honor, true honor it is to have Dr. Barna here. His research and commitment to helping us to better understand biblical worldview has made such a huge difference in my life personally, as well as I think in the lives of many. And there's a debt we owe to what Christ has done through our dear brother here. So Dr. Barna, with just a few moments left, we cannot get deep into the disciple-making practices, but I do want you to at least mention them. There's four disciple-making practices you mentioned in the book. Can you just in brief mention them?
Yeah, sure. You know, the first of those is that you've got to have a plan for how you're going to raise your children to be followers of Jesus. It doesn't happen spontaneously. So, you know, it starts out with me as a parent or a grandparent seeing myself as a disciple. That's my identity. I'm not a writer. I'm not a researcher. I'm not a baseball player. I'm not a bass player. I do all those things. But first and foremost, I'm called by God himself to be a disciple maker. So if I have that firmly in my mind and my heart as my identity, that changes how I see every day unfolding before me. So you got to have a plan. And as you think about your children or your grandchildren, what's your plan going to be? Don't just wait for things to happen spontaneously. Have a strategy that you're going to pursue for helping them to get closer to Christ. So secondly, once you've got a plan, then you've got to help the children that you're working with, that you're trying to influence, embrace biblical principles. This is the substance of the process. What should they believe? Why should they believe it? How would they believe it? How would they translate those beliefs into a lifestyle, into behaviors? And in the book, I talk about a great, simple starting point for doing that, called the seven cornerstones of a biblical worldview, seven basic beliefs that all of us probably embrace at some level. But I mean, if we really own these things and then we can share them with young children, that's a great foundation to build on. Third thing is helping them to figure out, now that you've got that foundation of beliefs, what does it look like in practice? So what that you believe in God? So what that you believe in Jesus? So what that you believe that success is not about possessions or reputation or fame or money or any of that? What does your worldview look like in practice? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. And so helping them to figure out what obedience looks like. And then finally, knowing how you measure and reinforce, replicate and rejoice the fact that a child is coming closer and closer to Christ or embraces Christ and becomes a disciple, that's a great day. They're celebrating in the kingdom of God. We should celebrate it too. But knowing that that's happening requires us to be consistently measuring or evaluating what progress are we making, what's working, what's not working, what's missing, what can we do that will, you know, help that child to move closer to Jesus. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that a coach does. And if you're going to be a disciple maker, that's what you are. You're a spiritual coach. And so you want to spend a lot of one-on-one time with that child, talking with them, experiencing things with them, and giving them the feedback that they need.
Well, every coach needs a coach, and that's the power of the book, is that in many ways, George Barner becomes your coach through the book to say, you can do this by God's grace. You can impact the next generation. You can be a disciple who helps to make disciples. And so I want to encourage you to get your hands on it. And again, this is more than just about intellectualism. This is more than just about cognitive belief. This is about helping the next generation to find compelling meaning and purpose in life as they follow Christ, the Son of God, sent to demonstrate God's great love for us and his desire for relationship with us. If today you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, I would love for you to dial this number, 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. We'd love to wrap our arms around you as you take your next step in your journey with Jesus and help you to be a disciple who follows God with all of your heart. Dr. Barna, has been a true joy. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me, Chris. I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Friends, at the beginning of the program, we said we needed 15 friends to stand with us with a gift of $100 or more to help us to finish this month strong. And I want to say thanks to Peter, who just checked in from Idaho with a gift as well. God bless you, Peter. Maybe you can be the next in that journey to 15. The phone number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144 or equipradio.org. Until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.